The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, Nick Vujicic, who was born without arms or legs, overcomes countless challenges and obstacles to encourage us all to live a life without limits.
And no matter what you have, no matter what you do not have, God can still use you. You don't need arms and legs to love God with all your heart. You don't need arms and legs to love your neighbor as yourself. You know what? God can use us just the way that we are.
Stay tuned and discover the driving factor behind Nick that took him from no limbs to no limits. Next.
Love to see everybody that's here. I like to see a lot of young people in the audience, and you'll understand why. I'm James Robinson, and Betty, my wife, welcome you to Life Today. We've never had a guest that's had a more gratifying reception, a warmer reception, gotten a greater response when we aired the programs than we have with Nick Vujicic. I want you to know it takes a great special touch of God to say Nick's name. I think maybe you need to be charismatic for sure to say Nick Vujicic, but I'm doing my best to say it. He may have to correct me. He's over here laughing at me already. But Nick is that, and I want you to just listen to this title. He calls it Verve, Life Without Limbs, From No Limbs to No Limits. No arms, no legs. That's the way he was born. No limbs, no limits. I want you to welcome Nick back to Life Today. Nick, we're glad to see you.
Thank you.
I can honestly feel coming from you. I can feel a hug, and you don't even have arms.
You
I
got
feel
it.
Love coming.
You got
from
it.
You. I think you like us. Do you like
I,
us?
I love you, and I love you all as well. But it's so great to be here. Thank you so much for having me back. It's great to see you again.
Well, you know, your title is just absolutely amazing, you know, no limbs, no limits, and you have really found that to be true. And you're still pretty young in your journey. How old are you as we're talking right now?
27.
And you have already been basically around the world.
Not basically,
limbs.
But 32 countries, yeah.
32 countries.
Yes, sir.
I want you to tell our viewers, just capsule a little bit about the situation that you found yourself facing and your
right.
family facing. And how in the world you came to a place that you could have so much joy and peace and communicate so much hope to so many people when it seems that you're facing some of the most extreme and difficult challenges possible.
Well, I love it where it says in Corinthians, where it says, do not put your faith in the words or wisdom of man, but put your faith in the power of God. And that's exactly what we're seeing as the fruit of my parents' faith. In God, knowing that even though their son was born without limbs, they still prayed for me and they took me under their, obviously, care as a father and mother would. And, you know, with no really map or anybody else really to work from, not even the doctors knew what to do. And so it was difficult for them up front. For me, it was hard to believe that I served a God without limits. It was hard to believe that I served or heard about a God who loved me, who cared for me. If he could do anything, then why doesn't he just release me of my pain? And I realized that he had a wonderful plan for me much, much later on in my life. But it was very difficult at the beginning, going to school and getting bullied and teased and not knowing my place in this world.
Why do you think kids do that? That's one of the things that's always puzzled me. I came from a very difficult childhood without a father, without a home, in total poverty and really lived in a very mean-spirited community.
Right.
Kids were mean. I got beat up a lot. I got hurt a lot. If I ever had anything, it got stolen. And for some reason, I never got into that traffic or that mindset, but kids were mean. And it's always been difficult for me to understand. I never wanted to hurt someone. I don't understand why you would want to impose hurt on anyone. I don't understand it. What do you think feeds that in the human psyche and with kids that they will pick on a child who maybe has a nose that's a little different, or they have a look that's different, or their hair's different, or something about them, or their shape's different? Why do they pick on them? Why do they bully them? What is it that's feeding that?
It's absolutely tragic, you know, even to see in just if you want to say more developed countries, including, you know, United States and Australia, you know, it's everywhere. Just everybody picks on everybody. For whatever reason that is, I would say it's just human nature. We by nature are greedy, prideful, selfish. And I believe there are some out there who do tease others because they're handling a situation at home that they're dealing with, and so they lash out on others. But it's no justification in my eyes. It's sad. And, you know, I was no different as far as, you know, being picked on. If it was a nose, well, this guy's got no arms, no legs. People can say, well, how low is that? Well, it's low for anybody to tease anybody because we are all wonderful creations of God. I think some people don't understand this generation, the next one here, doesn't understand just how much weight and influence just one word can have on kids. And, you know, even across the United States, we hear the tragic stories of, you know, people taking their own life because they start believing the lies. And for me, that led me actually to a suicidal thought at age 8. And I told my mom I wanted to kill myself. And that was the main reason why, is because I didn't feel good enough. I didn't feel acceptable. I didn't feel like there was any meaning towards my life. And so at age 10, I tried in a bathtub. I actually turned over 3 times and tried to commit suicide. But by the grace of God, I stayed around. And knowing personally how much that teasing really took effect to me, I have a passion of reaching out. You know, we've now spoken out approximately to 350 high schools across the world, and just letting them know that their value is not determined on how they look or how smart they are or how many friends they have either. And I just want you to know that if you're being teased today, someone told me this, I don't even remember who it was, but they said, when the world says you're not good enough, get a second opinion. And I went to the Word, I went to the truth, and the truth will set you free. I just want you to know to not give up on God, because God will not give up on you. You're not a mistake.
How did you come to pass that point of despairing of life, wanting to die, trying to take your life, and thank God, supernaturally failing? I mean, God miraculously had to have intervened because you could have done it pretty easily. And you're here. When did you begin to turn around and understand that there was more to life and that you could have a life with no limits when you seem to be so limited? What happened to make the change?
You know, I'll tell you a story that I haven't shared with you before. I was playing soccer one day at age 13, and when you put a full-size soccer ball next to me, it's pretty big, so if it hits me, I'm gone. And so my friend from way back, you know, just said, are you ready? And I'm like, yes. And I'm like really scared. My palms are sweaty. My knees are shaking. And so he gets ready to kick it, and he kicks it, and it's coming right for me, and I'm thinking, man, that I'm gone. I'm dead. And so I'm thinking, I'm going to hit it before it hits me. So I'm thinking it's a bit too low to headbutt, a bit too high to kick. So I jump up in the air and do a karate kick in the air. The ball comes, sprains my foot. It hits my foot and I hit a kick. And I was in so much pain and I realized, oh, my little foot. Like, so I use this so much. I type 43 words a minute on a normal computer. I walk, I swim, I drive my chair. I become mobile with my little foot. And man, for 3 weeks I couldn't use it. For 3 weeks, I felt disabled.
Because of that impact.
Because of the impact. You got that one? I couldn't walk with it. And I was like, wow, you know what? How many things we take for granted that God's given us? You know, and I realized, you know what? Thank you, God, for giving me the foot. You know, instead of, Lord, why didn't you give me arms and legs? I started realizing, man, I've got a loving home. I have a home to come to, just to know that they love me no matter what. And at 15, a full closure happened in my heart when I read about John 9, where a man was born blind. My question was, why? Why was I born this way? And Jesus said, the man who was born blind was born that way so that the works of God would be revealed. And that just made me realize, hey, just because I don't know what God has in plan, it doesn't mean that he has none. And so, you know, we always say, hey, God, what about a plan B? But we know that God's ways and thoughts are much higher than ours. So at 15 years old.
Well, Nick, when I look at you, all I want to do is just smile. Because the joy that comes from you, and I know that's evidently from the Lord and what He's done in your life. But that is such a wonderful gift to be able to, I mean, I just feel that joy when I'm with you, and I just can't get a big grin off of my face.
Praise God. And you know it's not me. We know that, you know, I love it. I'm just a man. I'm a human being. I have my ups and downs. I don't have a smile like this on my face every day. You know, it's like, this just doesn't happen. You know, I have my own fears. I have my own burdens that I take to God in prayer, and we all have that, but the joy of the Lord is my strength. What does that mean? That means this: my hope is in heaven.
That's right.
My hope is in heaven, and now the Holy Spirit's with me. He knows how much my heart can bear. You know, He knows how much pressure my heart can take. By His grace, He'll carry me through something I can't walk through. And that's the wonderful thing, that He's with me. He never makes a mistake. And that just blew me away when, you know, God shared with me just a line of revelation, knowing that when you don't get a miracle, you are a miracle for somebody else. You know, no matter what you have, no matter what you do not have, God can still use it. You don't need arms and legs to love God with all your heart. You don't need arms and legs to love your neighbor as yourself. And you can still have cerebral palsy and still stand in front of the gates of hell and redirect traffic. You know what? God can use us just the way that we are. You know, that's what we're here for, to love Him and love others and to know that we're all fearfully and wonderfully made. I love, you know, how He's the potter and we're the clay. I'm not the same as you. You're not the same as me. You'll never understand my pain. I'll never understand your pain. But to know that we can carry each other through in unity and to know that, you know, who am I? You know, when I say, well, God, why don't you give me arms and legs? You know, I thank God that He didn't give me arms and legs. Because what greater thing is there than to bring someone to the knowledge and hope of Jesus Christ? And if He can use me better to speak to 3.5 million people so far face to face and see hundreds of thousands give their life to Jesus Christ, tell me, what would you choose? Arms and legs for 90 years or a long line of 400,000 people in heaven saying, you know, Nick, you came to my school, you came to my country. Thank you for being faithful with what God's given you. And it's not me. It's not my strength. It's by the grace of God. And
you referenced earlier your gratitude for your parents' love.
Yes, sir.
What do they think about what's happening with their boy that seems to be so challenged when they look?
Hi, Mom. they're very proud. I mean, they're very proud. There were many times where, you know, I'm sure they had many sleepless nights and to asking God, what are you going to do with our son without arms and legs? And, you know, the last thing they expected was for God to say, well, I'm going to use him to be my hands and feet. You know, it's what God does. And so, you know, they're very proud of me. And we're excited for my upcoming book.
and what is it?
I forgot to tell you about that, didn't
I?
It's coming out. It's called Life Without Limits.
Who's publishing it?
Random House.
Well, they're doing our book that's coming
God's
out
God's publishing
fall.
It, but anyway.
They're doing our book. It's called Living in Love. Betty and I have been
there
living in love for 50 years and married 47, and we hope every married couple and every person thinking about marriage and some who wish you hadn't gotten married, we hope all of you will read the book Living in Love, because that really is the key. You know, as I'm listening to you and thinking about how kids are treated and mistreated sometimes, what do you detect that they hear coming from you that's most encouraging and most gratifying to you when you watch their response? What do you see happening to them?
That I love them. They at first, when I say those words, I love you, that's why the whole ministry was birthed. I believe God really gave me an experience where they just launched the ministry at age 19, so roughly 9 years ago. I spoke in front of 300 sophomore students, and this girl came up during the talk in front of all of her peers, had so much courage to do that, but she was crying, and she put up her hand, and she said, I'm so sorry, can I come up there and give you a hug? And she came up, hugged me, cried on my shoulder, and she said, thank you, no one's ever told me that they loved me. No one's ever told me that I'm beautiful the way that I am. And you think if that's shocking, there have been teenagers who come up to me and saying, my mom is the one who's been telling me that I'm fat or telling me that I need to do this or that. And they, some of these kids don't know what love is. There are many university students who've never heard that in countries around the world, like different cultures, they don't really share that love. And so whatever, you know, that is, obviously it's the Holy Spirit. It's the love of God that sets people free. And I feel like even though they know that they have no idea what it means to have no arms, no legs, they know what it means to be lonely, yet they see the joy in my eyes and they see the love and they're like, that's what I want. And they soon forget I have no arms and legs. They just see that I'm hugging them without hands.
Let me just say as directly as I can to you, and if I were there with you, I would reach out and take your hand. I have prayed with world leaders. I've prayed with intellectuals. I've prayed with the poor. I've prayed with the people that were downtrodden. I've prayed with prisoners. I've prayed with children and with the elderly. I would reach out and I would take your hand. And I would say, could I pray with you? And I would say to you, God does love you so very much. He gave his son for you. Would you receive him into your heart? And I would lead you in a prayer, the same prayer that I had the privilege of leading our children in at different points in their lives. Would you just pray, dear God in heaven, I want you to be my God and my Father. I believe you love me, and he does. And I receive your son, Jesus. Tell him that. I receive Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. I give you my life. Thank you, God. And you don't have to beg. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer. You see the telephone number there on the screen? If you'd call that number and just tell one of our prayer partners, I just prayed and I asked Jesus into my life. I'd love to send you a book that's titled Knowing God as Father, because I want you to know him. We've written the book that I want to give to you. It's a little bit of my own story of not having a father, but coming to know God. And then it has in here a very simple Bible study that will help you get started. Be so thrilled to send it to you. I know you've been blessed by what you've heard. Would you like to tell Nick Vujicic, thank you so much for sharing. Thank you for being a blessing. And I want all of you to know that Nick has a tremendous DVD of his story and his testimony. There's his website, and you can go on that website and you can say, I'd like to have this. It's something you'd want to share with your own church group or your own Bible study group. It'd be great if your school would somehow hear it and put it up on a big screen. You know, Nick, we have gone all over the world too. Betty and I have spent our lives sharing the love of God with people. And we like to say it this way, not just in word, but in deed. And you know how it is that we're able to do those deeds? People like you join with us. We could just have a great care in our heart. We could have a broken heart. We would have so little we could offer. You have joined us. I'm asking you to join us. I'm asking you to help us give water to the thirsty all over the world. Just a fresh cup of water. They may not have a nice cup. They may not have a tap. But we can give them a well. And that well will give them a chance at health and life. It'll become the center of life and activity in their village or their community or the area of need. Listen to one of our missionary workers in Africa. Listen to the heart of God. Listen closely.
I can't tell you the stench here. It stinks here from cattle dung and I mean, it's just filthy. And this child has climbed in the bottom here. The water down there stinks. I don't know how to explain to you what I'm witnessing here. I mean, this young child has climbed into this hole. They've dug holes here. Kids and mothers have actually dug holes in a dry riverbed, and yet he's collecting it in this little cup, and he's actually drinking this water. I can't believe he's drinking, and yet I can, because I actually understand that with the drought that's going on in this area and with the lack of water wells around here, there's no option. The reality is that, you know, there are people desperate for water all over the world. It's not just here in Africa. Maybe their condition is not as pathetic as this, where they're digging a hole in the middle of a mud wallow where cattle and so on are walking through. But it's the same situation in that families are desperate for water. Children are dying because of waterborne diseases. And mothers are literally fighting a battle every day and suffering each and every day to try and find clean water for their families. It's not just an Africa thing. This is something all around the world, and we have to think global about this, and then we actually have to respond with a response that is large enough to be able to take water to people who desperately need it all around the world.
Well, we're hearing not just Isaac talk about the continent of Africa, but we're hearing the heart of God. And through missionaries who've given their lives to literally be the hands of Jesus in critical areas of very serious need, they said, here we can provide water and it'll provide hope. We're targeting now in over 20 nations 400 water wells. The wells cost $4,800 apiece. When you see those children, I appreciate Isaac, who's got such a passion for the children of Africa, saying, we got to think about the children and their families all over the world. We can drill those wells if you'll help us. Now, I believe that you may be able to give a well. If you can do it, I believe you will. If you could give a portion of a well, $1,200 and pray three people join you, or $2,400 and pray another person joins you, please do that. Betty, it is my earnest prayer that every person watching, and I know there are some who couldn't give an entire well, but if they could only understand $48, and please hear this, $48 gives 10 people water the rest of their life. For those 10 people, it is life. My prayer is, and I really want to see this happen someday, every person watching do something. Every person give, as Jesus said, at least a cup of water. I'm praying that'll happen today, but it'll take you doing your part.
Absolutely. But, you know, I don't know that you and I can even imagine a time that might come in our lives to where we would even think of it, that we couldn't get a fresh, clean drink of water if we were thirsty. I can't imagine coming to a point in my life to where I would be digging down a hole as deep as I could to find some water there. Even though it's diseased and it's filthy, no matter what, you'd be so thirsty, or your children would be so thirsty, that you would have to offer them that water to sustain life for a little while, no matter what it was doing to their little bodies. I hope you will help us, and your heart is touched as you see and hear the need of the families and the children that need fresh, clean water just to live. Please join with us. I know you love the outreaches that we do, and this one I know that you will be blessed by doing, and that's helping us to dig the water wells and to find fresh, clean water for these people.
You know, Betty, when you were talking about the efforts they go to get water, and here's the sad part, you have to have water to live a little longer, or even more, a few more days or weeks. But the water they're getting so often puts in their little bodies disease and a slow process of very painful death. But all of that changes with just a fresh water well. Would you dial that telephone number and give 10 people water for the rest of their life, make a gift of $48? $144, you give 30 people water the rest of their life. We have some very special gifts for you. These are beautiful praise songs that I believe lead to healing by leading us into the presence of God. A beautiful Bible that we have for you that'll be a tremendous blessing. I love the way they're covered, the beautiful leather binding, and the large letter edition here of the New International Version. And then the beautiful bronze, the new creation, because we are actually new creations in Christ, but we offer people a hope at life, new life, and a new way of life. We're sending this to those of you who will make a gift of $1,200 or more, those of you who make a gift of $100 or more, the Bible, and for any gift, the beautiful praise music. Thank you so much for making that call. You can go online, lifetoday.org, and make your gift, or simply take your bank card and use it like a check. If you write a check, call us to tell us, please, what you're sending in, and then do mail that gift. And thank you so much for your help.
Water. Without it, life as you know it cannot exist. But for millions of children and families, their only available water is filled with disease, and once ingested can lead to death. But one fresh water well can turn the most barren desert into an oasis of life. With your life-saving support, Mission Water for Life is set to drill 400 new water wells in 20 nations, as well as rebuild and restore 200 more around the world. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will reach 15 people. And $144 will help provide clean, disease-free, uncontaminated water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift of any amount, be sure to request the Faithful and True Worship CD, featuring a wonderful collection of worship music from Life's conferences in years past. With your gift of $100 or more to help provide clean water, be sure to request the beautiful NIV Large Print Reference Bible. And finally, with your gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, be sure to request our beautiful bronze sculpture titled New Creation. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Well, you know, here's a little girl getting a drink. Betty just said, I can't help her. I can't help her do it. And the reason Betty says that is she knows she's seen the river where it comes from. We've seen the animals and the animal waste, and we know it's contaminated. Now, you're going to tell a thirsty child they can't have water. When their mother brought them the water, Mom brought them this water. Mom had no idea she might be bringing this child disease or sickness.
This is the kind of water they're drinking, the only water that they have to fill their thirst. But as they're filling their thirst, they're putting disease into their little bodies. We don't need that to happen. We can make a difference in that. If you'll just join with us and let's give these children some clean, safe water. Will you please go to the phone right now? We need to begin drilling these water wells to help these children. We must not delay. We need your help now. Please go to the phone.
Well, Betty and I just say thank you so much for your help. It's so important. By the way, if you ever dial the number and got a busy, please call back. I mean, lives do depend on it. Many people have called today to give their lives to Christ. Praise God for that. But would you also call to give someone a chance at life? And let me remind you about Nick's incredible tape. This is a DVD that's kind of been a beautiful message heard around the world, and you'll want to get a copy of it. There's the website where you can communicate with Nick. Perhaps he'll be in your area sometime. You might communicate and say, what's the possibility? Would all of you say thanks to Nick? Join me and Betty expressing our gratitude. Nick, you're going to come back and tell us a little bit more about what's been happening around the world. Nick's going to be back in another program this week. Don't miss it.
Living in Love, a new book from James and Betty Robison, coming soon. Visit livinginlovetoday.com.
Tomorrow, Nick Vujicic, who was born without arms or legs, overcomes countless challenges and obstacles to encourage us all to live a life without limits. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.